seems like it takes a couple of weeks to adjust to that hour. It's nice to be here. It's nice to be around people you know, you feel comfortable with. Some people you just enjoy being around, and that applies to all of you guys. So, some people just their presence in the room make it a little lighter, makes a difference. Makes it lighter, makes it more joyful. Just their personality, just their attitude when they come into the room. They tend to see the good things and enjoy life and care about others, and that reflects off of them too. You recognize that. Then there are some people that makes it a little gloomy. Some people little down all the time, a little bit complaining all the time, little woe is me a lot of the times, and those tend to bring you down as well. So we want to be one of those uplifting people. Sometimes we get in a room around others, but we feel left out. You just don't quite blend in. You feel a little lonely even though you're surrounded by people. You know, you just don't quite fit in. You didn't really feel like part of the group. Now, maybe no one actually took the time to help bring you in, you know, to help you feel comfortable. But sometimes it takes effort to join in. And sometimes it takes inserting yourself into the mix a little bit instead of sitting on the sideline. You got to put yourself in there a little bit. Sometimes when you feel alone, I think everybody does at times, you think you're the only one that feels like you do, but you're not alone. You're never alone. God is always present. God is omnipotent, omniscient. He's all those things. He's always around. He's everywhere at all times. Satan can't do that. He doesn't have God's power. He's not omniscient. He's not omnipotent. He has his own power, but he's a created being just like we are. He doesn't have all the power that God has. God is everywhere. God is spirit. It's not the place that matters either. You know, his presence is what matters. And his presence are wherever you are. So you don't have to come to church to feel God's presence. You can be in your car driving to church. You can be on the bus going to school. You can be at your job. He's with you every bit of that time as well. So his presence is all around. You know, he intended to be like the Garden of Eden. You know, where Adam and Eve and him walked in the cool of the day. You know, they had that intimate relationship where they were with each other, actually in the Lord's presence. When sin came, they lost that intimacy that they had with God, of the presence of the Lord at that time. Someday it's going to be restored. Someday we'll be back to what he intended in the beginning. But God still shows himself in ways. You know, some will say, well, I don't see God. I don't know he's there. Well, you know, just in the Bible, he showed himself as a pillar of a cloud, as a pillar of fire. When he was leading the Israelites, he is what he needs to be to each of us. He was a burning bush to Moses. He was a blinding light to Paul. You know, we see him and everybody says nature and creation, which is true. He is in all of nature. He's in all of creation. You just cannot not know he's there with creation. You know, as many times as people say nothing created something, that's not how it works. Nothing doesn't become something. There has to be a creator to do that. So, in the Holy Spirit, he shows us himself in the Holy Spirit that we all have what you accept him as your personal savior. So, he shows us himself in a lot of ways. We're going to read Psalms 139, the first 18 verses this morning. But I really want you to pay attention to the words. Excuse me. We're going to read 1 through 18, because I really want to talk about that God is with us. He's with us. He surrounds us. He's with us all the time. In every aspect of life. We're going to read Psalms 139, 1 through 18. It says, "You have searched me, Lord, and you know me. You know when I sit and when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down. You're familiar with all my ways. Before a word is on my tongue, you, Lord, know it completely. You hem me in behind and before, and you lay your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too lofty for me to attain. Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there your hand will guide me. Your right hand will hold me fast. If I say, surely the darkness will hide me, and the light becomes night around me, even the darkness will not be dark to you. The night will shine like the day, for darkness is as light to you. For you created in my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place, when I was woven together in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. How precious to me are your thoughts, God. How vast the sum of them. Were I to count them, they would outnumber the grains of sand. When I awake, I am still with you. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word, Lord. We thank you for this section, Lord, that really tells that who you are, that you're there with us all the time. You're thinking about us all the time. You love us all the time. No matter where we are, no matter who we're with, no matter how we feel, that you are there. Lord, just help us to grasp this. It says it's hard to understand that you're there all the time and how much you care about us. But help us to grasp this a little better this morning. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. So God's presence is all around us. He knows us intimately. I use that word because we know a lot of people. You know, you say, I know President Trump. I know President Biden. I know, but we don't know them intimately. We know who they are, but we don't have a relationship. God has a relationship with us. You're always being watched. We talk about being examples, you know, out and about in our daily life, school, work, wherever we may be, that we're examples because we're being watched. Well, we are always being watched. We're always being watched by others, but we're always being watched by God. God knows our every move. He knows, as it says, when you sit. He knows when you lie down. He knows when you get up. He knows your thoughts. He knows your unspoken words before you do. Yet he surrounds us with his presence and his love and his protection. You know, you cannot go anywhere he's not already there. You can't escape from his sight, even if you try. You can't escape from his sight. The place doesn't matter. His presence is constant. He's always present. And honestly, in a believer, that should give us a comfort and a peace and a joy to know he's beside us at all the time. He's right there with us all the time. Or do we know him well enough to understand that he's with us all the time? Sometimes do we think we can get by with things because no one is around? No one will ever know. No one will see what I did. Maybe it's dark and he can't see us. Or at least he won't notice because he's awful busy with other stuff. He's got other important things to deal with, not what I'm doing. But God is light. You know, everything is seen by him. There's nothing darkness hides. He sees it all. You know, you just got to thank the Creator. The Creator of all things knows me. He knows you. He created you. He created me. He knew before I was born. It says he knitted me together in the womb. At election time, keep that in mind. A person is at conception according to God. That's a person. You know, abortion, some people say, well, that maybe that's not the highest on the list. You know, I want to look at this thing, this thing, this thing, this thing. Maybe it's the economy. Maybe it's abortion. Maybe it's whatever it is. But a life has to be at the top. A life has to be important. The economy's not bigger than a life. So you need to research your election people. You need to know who you're voting for, what you're voting for. So take that into account. He's everywhere with me in everyday things. Not just in special things, not just at church, not just when I call on him. He's in everything we do. Again, he knows my thoughts. He knows my words before they're spoken. So maybe we should think about him a little stronger before we speak them. Not that he doesn't already know, but at least we can keep others from being affected. He knows my motive for the things I do. He knows the number of hairs on my head. He knows more about me than I do. So we need to take it personal. He's personal with us. He knows everything there is about us. He knows me and you out of everyone ever created. And he chooses to be with you and I at all times. Chooses to be with us. Even if we don't choose to be with him, he's there. He loves us, even when we don't show love back to him. So what's your motives for the things you do? Because he already knows what they are. Right actions can be done with wrong motives. We can do good things, but our motive may not be pure. It's back to who are we doing it for? Are we doing it for him? Or am I doing it for me? He knows. You can get rewards here, which he said you can have, but you won't get them later from him. You know, if you're looking for man to cheer you on, to give you an attaboy, then without regard to God, that was your focus. That's, you can have it, but that's all you're going to get. Because it wasn't really for him. I think God thinks of you all the time. It talks about the grain of sand. More than the grain of sand you can count. That's how often he thinks of you. Your picture's on his refrigerator. That's how much he thinks of you. You always put pictures on your refrigerator, right? Those you care about, love, think about. They say, your picture's on his refrigerator. God's presence is there for you all the time, protecting you, watching out for you. You know, Elisha was a prophet. We're going to go to 2 Kings chapter 6. Elisha was a prophet, exposing the king's plans for the good guys. And they didn't like that. So we're going to read this section, 2 Kings 6, verses 11 through 17. Again, Elisha was exposing the king's plans. Seemed like everything King of Aram was doing, Elisha knew ahead of time. And was telling the good guys what was going on. So that's the background. So it starts in verse 11. It says, this enraged the king of Aram. He summoned his officers and demanded of them, tell me, which of us is on the side of the king of Israel? None of us, my lord the king, said one of his officers, but Elisha, the prophet who is in Israel, tells the king of Israel the very words you speak in your bedroom. Go find out where he is, the king ordered, so I can send men and capture him. The report came back, he is in Dothan. Then he sent horses and chariots and a strong force there. And they went by night and surrounded the city. When the servant of the man of God got up and went out early the next morning, this was Elisha's servant, the person with him. He got up early, went out the next morning. An army with horses and chariots had surrounded the city. "Oh no, my lord, what shall we do?" the servant asked. "Don't be afraid," the prophet answered. "Those who are with us are more than those who are with them." And Elisha prayed, "Open his eyes, Lord, so that he may see." Then the Lord opened the servant's eyes, and he looked and saw the hills full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. So there's a spirit world all around us. We don't see it. We may feel it sometimes. And maybe we may see it sometimes in attitudes of people. We may see it in nature. Some folks see clouds and see things that may be battles going on. You can see things that look like different things, and you can surmise. The spirit world's all around us. We don't see it, but it's there. God's holding back the evil and protecting us. He's holding it back right now. Those chariots and those horses are there surrounding us. And we need to recognize the truth that he's always with us no matter what, time or place. We're always surrounded by those forces, by those spirits. Hebrews 13:5. I know it's talking about money, but that's one of the things he's talking about. Hebrews 13:5 says, "Keep your lives free from the love of money and be content in what you have, because God said, 'Never will I leave you, never will I forsake you.'" So God, I don't believe he says stuff he doesn't mean. That's a promise. He's never going to leave us. He's never going to forsake us. And his presence everywhere. Again, no matter where we're at, no matter what we're doing. Spurgeon was talked about the presence of God, and he commented this way. He says, "The presence of God's glory is in heaven. The presence of his power is on earth. The presence of his justice is in hell. And the presence of his grace is with his people." So his presence is everywhere. It's all around us. It's not just in the nature. Nature shows him, but he's it's hard for us to understand. He's literally in every fiber of us, in every action we take, all the things we do. We're going to have an invitation in a minute. I'm going to just tell a story. Maybe it's one you've already heard, but it's a dog story. If you like dogs, you might like it. So, you know, just he's in the ordinary things we do. It's not just big things we do, not just things we do for him. He's in everything we do. And he's concerned about the little stuff, the stuff you think doesn't matter, that you might think is just coincidence, but it's not. God is involved in those things. And our son was graduating high school, and you know, thinking of a gift, and what do you want? And said, "Well, I'd like a dog." Okay, hadn't had a dog for a long time. Joni's not necessarily a dog person, so you know, we don't know about that. So, nope, just wanted a dog. And he wanted a dog. He wanted a specific kind, like a little, he wanted like a Jack Russell, and, you know, kind of with a black eye and, you know, black around his eyes, specific on the kind that he wanted. It. So that's what I like. So, of course, we kind of passed on that, trying to think of other things. And Joni was looking for birthday cards and things, and, you know, stuff about dogs, of course, kept coming up then. She saw a card in the store. Well, I'll get that. It was a dog, kind of looked like that, riding a, you know, I don't know, most kids had that little red tricycle. He was riding that tricycle that our kids had too, riding the tricycle. and said something to the fact, "You can always come home." That was one of the songs at their dedication that was sang. So, said, "You could always come home." So, she called me and said, "I think we're supposed to get a dog." "Are you sure?" "You don't like dogs." "I think we're supposed to get a dog. You know, this and this and this, this happened, and you see things, I'm getting the feeling we're supposed to get a dog." And so I said, "Well, you can take a shot." Now, we were living up there, we'd take a shot. She knew a person really big into the Clay County Humane Shelter back then. I said, "All you do is call, maybe see." I said, "You realize, you know, if you look at the humane shelter, they're usually big dogs, you know, has pit in them and those type things. You don't rarely see small dogs there." I said, "You can just call and ask, check it out and see." Of course, she called. Of course, she said, "You know, somebody just dropped off one today." "Just dropped him off today. It is a Jack Russell. Does have a black eye." Needless to say, she made a trip to Brazil. Picked up the dog. Dog jumped in the car, sat right on the center console to ride back home. It's like he knew where he's going. Got a bag of TJ, the dog, because he was happy. He was happy, but he said, "You know, don't know why he got a dog," but he said he knew because he had prayed for God to change Joni's mind on the dog. That's what happened. So things just is not circumstances. God works through everything. All the little things, all the circumstances in our life, God has said those things. So we're going to have an invitation hymn. Let's pray beforehand and have an invitation. Lord, thank you for your presence in our life. You're close to us at all times. Just the times we need you. But you're there when the times we think we don't. Not just in the big things, but in small, everyday things in our life. Help us to understand your presence, Lord. What that means, how big you are, how close you are to us. Father, we're just grateful. Grateful we have a God that's that big. He knows each of us individually and chooses to have a relationship with us. Chooses to love us, whether we love you back or not. But thankfully, those that see you, Lord, that recognize your presence, accept you, have a relationship with you. Lord, we pray for those that don't. We pray for those that are missing out. We cry out to you for them. Lord, we just ask your blessings on us, Lord. Help us to know you're there with us. Help us to understand you're watching us and are with us. Help us to understand others are watching us. Help us to be the example you are. We're just thankful and grateful for all you do for us. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you.